want to feel the baby kick, and it was so exciting, and we know we're getting near the time. I'll tell you, God's ready to birth something through the body of Christ. And listen, it's not, it is the body of Christ. It's not just a body. We come to understand the goodness and the grace of God of who we're called to be. The church is not denomination, organization, but the revelation of the fact that we know and love Jesus Christ, that we're part of his family. If you'd walk in the word with me in Mark chapter 11, I pray for the Holy Spirit to bring this alive in your spirit about how he can move mountains that are there. There's so many times we're trying to climb over. So many times we're just going around them instead of dealing with them. And some of them would go around and around and around. And God said, it's time to move the mountain. Let that be something that's gone so you can get on with what I want to do. So I want to talk to you about moving mountains in a very practical way to get down to where you live. I don't want to just talk about things that sound so ideal, they're not real. I want this to be something you can take home and make work in your heart and in your life. That's what I'm after with you men. Men, I want you to know 93% of the time when dad follows the Lord, the whole family will. And there's no other thing that will touch lives like men doing what God said because of an order that God made. It's not something of a priority as far as God is concerned, something over women, but it's an understanding of what God's grace will do if we just allow him to. So please walk with me and understand that grace, and let's grow together by the grace of God. In Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. That's the bottom line. I don't know how things are going to work out, but I made this determination that my faith is in you, Lord. For verily I say unto you that whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and you'll not doubt in your heart, but you'll believe those things which you say, it'll come to pass whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you that whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if we do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I pray that the Spirit of God can make this so real in our hearts and in our lives that we can understand how to walk it out, that we know it is a way of life. I went to church when it was just the keeping of a day. I'm so thankful for a time that I've come to know a way of life, and I can walk in it because of the Word of God that directs my steps. But as we come today, I want to share with you about how it is that we move these mountains that blind us. I want to be able to reflect on those mountains because they're mountains that stand there, and mountains of misunderstanding is the first one that we have to remove. The mountain of misunderstanding, and then the mountain of me. There's so many things that can trip us up just as far as self is concerned. Many times the devil doesn't have to do much. We do enough to ourselves, and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to get over that and be able to grow by the grace. And then there's a mountain of mistakes. How many of you ever made a mistake here? Yeah, and you made a mistake if you didn't raise your hand. But we've all made mistakes. But I want us to understand how this works. And on the television broadcast this morning, I just clicked in to be able to watch that a little bit, and that's on at 7 o'clock if you ever want to cue into that on Channel 26. But the message that I brought this morning is, why don't you do something? How many of you have ever said that? God, why don't you do something? And there's times I'll find that in my heart, and I say it in a sincere way, but I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit has taught me to obey and understand that so many times I make the mess, and I want to put him to the test. I make the mess, and then I say, why, God? And all the time, I've got the wrong person on the question block. It needs to be, why, man? Why did we get here? But I am thankful for this. Though I'm a mess, I'm his mess. And in the mix of my mess, he can work a miracle if I'll just come and humble my heart. He can move those things that are so impossible for me. And it deals with those arenas in life where we misunderstand because we only look at what man can do. I'm glad to know that I can come this day and I can be able to say, rise, spirit man. Rise up within me, the understanding, the greater one that's in me than he that's in the world, and die flesh. We present this flesh, this physical frame to the Lord. I'm thankful it's a temple of the Spirit of God, but I'm glad there's more to it than this, because one day we'll all give these clothes back to the wardrobe of earth, but we have a body that will live on for eternity. I pray that God will help us to know that you can take something of faith and function beyond what you feel. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel very spiritual. And I was really appreciative of Dr. Billy Graham saying that if I was only a Christian when I felt like it, I wouldn't be a Christian half the time. You don't live by feelings. You live by faith. You trust in the Lord. Not only love him, but trust him. See, if you'll take what you feel and kneel, God can reveal and heal the things that need to be to make you whole in life. That's how the process works, that we walk this through. There's an amazing thing that happens when we humble our heart before the living God. The psalmist says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I promise you, if you have a hungry heart this morning, you have a heart of humility, you're going to hear things that others may not. You're going to find that that hunger and thirst in your soul will be satisfied. Matter of fact, I believe that so many times you need to know, even when you come to a church service or anything else, the volume of your hunger will determine your filling. If you're not really hungry, you won't get much out of it. But I want to tell you, I pray there's a holy hunger in your heart to be able to taste and see how good God is, that you understand that the Word of God is milk and meat and it's water. It's something that will give you the sweetness of the honey of life, and you can be able to walk that out and live that out. And you can understand how to be able to please Him and get beyond sin. You know, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. And there's the understanding that the world has so much to offer, and especially to our young people today. But the price of sin is never worth the pleasure. Would you say amen to that? It's never worth it. See, you can get a lot of kicks out of sin, but the kickback is tremendous. And I want you to know that sin will fascinate and then assassinate your soul. It looks so attractive going in, but it'll become something that brings destruction. And also, sin is something we do when we're not satisfied with God. That's the bottom line of sin. That's when we miss the mark. But misunderstandings that happen in life, they're there all the time. When we come to the point of misunderstanding, just pause for a moment, it means we miss the understanding that we need of one another. It means when you say understanding, it means you come under and bear up something that you misunderstand. And instead of putting it down, you get under it to lift it. The misunderstanding that was there in mankind, the misunderstanding when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he looked out at the crowds that were crucifying him and he said, Father, forgive them. For they what? They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Now, he brings us to that understanding in the book of Ephesians. It says, the eyes of your understanding being open. That's where revelation comes beyond reasoning. The revelation of who Christ is. And then you find out for the first time in your life who you are. That's not religion. That's a relationship that's real. I was raised religious, but I didn't know a relationship with the living God. Thankful for the day that he opened my eyes so I'd be able to see him. The mountain of misunderstanding I had about the church so I could be able to see the goodness and grace of our God. The mountain of misunderstanding that's in the church today. There's so many people, even in this Christian arena, don't really understand what God's word has to say. Now, I'm not talking about little things, about style, because we have different style. Matter of fact, our style of worship and things are different than I was raised with. I said I was very quiet in the church. But how many of you have had a child that was very quiet and you've had one that's very noisy? And you know what? You loved them both. Amen? And God does too. And I read the Bible, found out it was a noisy book, and I'm glad that we can fellowship and share together. But there's a lot of ways of dealing things different, and I'm so thankful for all the body of Christ. I want to tell you, I thank God for every church that preaches the gospel. Now, I'm brokenhearted for churches that have gotten away and said that you can get to heaven through other religions, because if that's true, then the Bible's a lie. And I'm sad for many things that I see happening in our culture today that's done in the name of the church that has nothing to do with the kind of church Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to know the real deal. But some of the things that we differ about are just things that are funny. And by the way, it's all right to have a little fun in church. Amen? The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happiness and joy. Joy does good like a medicine, the Bible says. There were five country churches in a small Texas town. There was a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Catholic church, and a Jewish synagogue. Each church was overrun with pesky squirrels. Have you ever had them around? One day the Presbyterians called a meeting to decide what to do about the squirrels. After much prayer and consideration, they determined the squirrels were predestined to be there and they shouldn't interfere with God's divine will. The Baptist church, they were looking at the squirrels and they had taken up habitation in the baptistry. They decided to put the cover on and go ahead and just send them home to heaven, drown them in the baptistry. But the squirrels escaped, and next week there was twice as many back. The Methodist church got together, and they decided not to put any harm to any of God's creation. So they trapped the squirrels, took them out of town, let them loose, but by the next week they were back and brought their friends. The Catholic Church came up with the best, most effective solution. They baptized the squirrels, registered them. Now they only saw them on Christmas and Easter. Not much was heard about the Jewish synagogue, but they took one squirrel, had a short service, which is called circumcision, and they haven't seen a squirrel since. So if we have a little different style, it's okay, amen? But I pray we catch the substance. And by the way, the joy of the Lord is the strength of our salvation, amen? I'm glad we can have joy. The world can't give it to you, and they can't take it away. And we get to enjoy that as a family. But misunderstandings abound. And by the way, what those misunderstandings do is rob us of that joy. They rob us of being able to enjoy God and one another. That's the first thing that always goes in a relationship. And I pray the Holy Spirit can help us to understand the grace of God that's here to help us, that we're able to see some of the things and get right perspective. Misunderstandings will never let you really see life or people or yourself as you really are. You know, sometimes our perspective on things can change just like that if we just have understanding. We get under and stand and find out what's going on. Pastor friend has a little down, well, he's quite grown up now, Down syndrome child. Young man, and he's just very lovable young man, and I certainly have such a heart for that. Our little granddaughter, our oldest granddaughter, is a Down syndrome child, and he was on vacation with his son, and they're walking on a beach, and his son is a good-sized lad. I mean, he's full-grown, and they're walking along the beach, and dad's talking with him a little bit, but the son looks over, and there's a big, muscular man laying there taking a sunny snooze, and that man's laying there just so relaxed. And all of a sudden, this dear young man, he saw him over there laying like that, and he took off. Dad took off after him, but he wasn't fast enough. He took off, he ran over to that man, and he belly flopped him. And then he gave him a big, juicy kiss. And I want to tell you, he came out of that snooze ready to swing. But then he looked, and that dear boy was just standing there smiling at him. So, and all of a sudden, he understood, and there's no problem. Dear God, help us take time to understand. Amen? Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't get a right perspective about things, and so we miss so many opportunities when we don't understand what's going on. Listen, there's a lot of things about my understanding that denied I could ever have the future God gave me, and I shared some of that with you men. But I want you to know, if you understand, if you'll seek to really understand what it is to learn and not leisure, as I said a little bit ago, you can come to understand, get understanding, get wisdom above all things. And if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. Where do you think he'll give it to you? Right here. This book is filled with the wisdom, the mind of the Lord. Have you ever had somebody say, I'd like to give that person a piece of my mind? And don't give too much of that away, by the way. You can run into trouble. But see, when God gives you a piece of his mind, he gives you peace of mind. What a difference that makes. And you can understand what he's saying. You know, there's a shoe salesman was sent to an island where they wanted him to go there and sell shoes. And he got off the plane, he looked around, he got back on the plane, went right back home. He didn't order a single shoe. And they said, what's the matter? Why didn't you try to do anything? He said, I got off the plane, I looked, nobody wears shoes. And they didn't know what to do with that, so they tried another man, sent him over there. That man got over there, got off the plane. He said, send me every shoe you can find. Nobody wears shoes here. I can sell every person a pair of shoes. They had a different perspective. I want to tell you, we need to get the right perspective about what we can do through Christ who strengthens us. You understand that perspective comes by the power of the Word of God working in us and letting that mountain of misunderstanding be moved and cast into the sea, and I'll develop that more as we go. But I pray the Holy Spirit will make that real. Listen, sometimes when I don't understand, I need to get a little counseling. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. The reason we don't get counseling most of the time is because we think somebody's going to tell us what to do, or we're embarrassed to get things. Listen, whatever's in the dark can't live if you bring it in the light. That's what we need to do. Here's the breakdown of counseling. This is why we have inside-out counseling. It's correction with no rejection, so you can get direction in your life. Amen? That's what real counseling is about. And it's to bring you to the one who is proclaimed. He's wonderful in counsel. He's mighty to deliver. That's where you'll end up. Please understand about counseling. It's correction with no rejection. We know little about that. but it's so you get direction in life. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to bring us to the point where we can say, oh, I see now. I understand. And because of that understanding, you can stand under and be able to bear up other brothers and sisters. You're able to love people. You can love people you don't even like. Because God doesn't call us to always have things alike. And matter of fact, you need to have wisdom about that, because there's even times Jesus said he didn't commit himself to certain people because he understood what was in their heart. But so many times these mountains start out as a molehill, a little misunderstanding. Well, they said this, but they meant that. And pretty soon we start thinking for folks, and we're building this mountain up, and we got that, and it breaks hearts, it breaks homes, it tears apart churches. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to awaken us in this hour so we begin to understand. He's given in that illuminating light so we don't walk as the people of the world, blinded by the god of this world, that we have the light of the love of Jesus Christ working in our hearts and in our lives. You know, I've watched many times people overcome huge obstacles and then be tripped up by something little bitty. And you wonder, what happened? I'm amazed at what they overcame, but then I'm even more amazed at what tripped them up. I read about James Crutch. James was aboard the Titanic when it went down, and he was one of the few survivors from that shipwreck. 3 years later, he was in the Navy on the U.S. Lithuania, and it was torpedoed by a German submarine. How do you think James ended up dying? Was it by one of these things of drowning in the ocean or something? No, it wasn't that at all. Matter of fact, what happened? He slipped on a rock near a stream by his home, and he drowned in a foot of water. How unusual that could be, that in such a small thing, he would lose his life. Jim Berkeley, the great safari hunter, with lions and tigers and all those things that he would hunt, but he died because of a little scratch from the claw of a kitten. Because he didn't take care of it. It wasn't tended to. It became infected, and he lost his life. Blondin, the tightrope walker who would walk across the Niagara Falls, and he would take a wheelbarrow and push it across, and people were amazed at his ability to do that. But what tripped him up? It wasn't any of the things that you would think. He didn't die in Niagara Falls. He tripped over his doormat at his home and then ended up dying from it. There's so many things that can happen in life, but we need to understand how to move the mountain of misunderstanding and see God's grace that helps us and move these misunderstandings that keep us from coming close to the Lord. People say, oh, I don't understand all the things about God. Well, who does? If you've got God figured out, I want to tell you, you've got the wrong one. He's too big for that. By the way, don't think you've got others figured out either. Let God be God. Amen. If we come to that point, he can work in our lives in a beautiful way. But here's the real deal. You have to remove the mountain of me. I said to you some time back, and I repeat it to myself on occasion, that if I could deal with the person, or if I could kick the person that causes me the most problems, if I could kick him in the seat of the pants, I probably couldn't sit down for a week. The one that creates the most problems is right here. Amen? The understanding of that mountain of me, where I want what Pastor Jake says, I'm Jimmy, gimme, that kind of a thing. That selfishness that's in the soul of man that doesn't see beyond that to what God really wants to do. I think so many times these obstacles come up in our life that we misunderstand, and that mountain of me begins to be built. And that begins to be built by our own mouth. Instead of listening to the Word of God, we begin to listen to what comes out of our own mouth. And many times that's a negative. I wonder if we really understand that if you can master your mouth, God can master your mountains. If you can master your mouth, God can master your mountains. How many times have you started out making comments to one another in your home? And at first it was just a conversation where you disagreed a little bit. But pretty soon you got really intense fellowship going on. And I mean, all of a sudden it's sharp, it's cutting, it's hitting. And then the men get silent. And men clam up, women blow up. And we miss what God wants, and it's all about selfishness. Well, I tell you what, if we could ever get delivered of meism, I want to tell you, in the mix of that, we would see the greatest healing. We'd see every divorce court emptied in a hurry. We'd see the reality of relationship. We'd see revival in churches. The biggest hindrance to revival is not what the devil's doing. It's what the church doesn't understand about surrendering to Christ and giving up self so we can really be a son, a daughter of the Most High God. Not some kind of religious fanatic that's so heavenly minded there's no earthly good, but we become so heavenly minded we can make an earthly difference. Amen? It gets down to where we really do live. I think this morning as we share with you as a family, as we pray, and, you know, it brings us all reality to realize that Dustin sat in the service here within a couple, 3 weeks and opened his heart and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I met you, dear sir, that you tried to revive Dustin and tried to help him. You did all the things that could possibly be done in that way. And for you as a family, as you grieve, I think of the grace. And here's the deal. When I'm all caught up with me, I'm not free to really reach out to others. I can't be what God intended. See, when Jesus said, I've come to give you life, but not just life, an abundant life, that you have more than enough, that you can get beyond self, and you can serve me. I'm so glad to know that Dustin opened his heart and received Christ as his Savior, that he raised not just his hand, but his heart. And because of that, we can have that assurance. Now, I have that funeral service on Tuesday afternoon, but that's going to be a celebration of his life and his love. And in the mix of that, there's sadness, but there's also a gladness that we can understand. If we can just get beyond self and figuring everything out and quit questioning God for what he's doing and begin to understand what God has to say to us and get beyond religion down to real relationships and begin to do what the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Study to show who? Yourself. I think many times we're studying to show others approved. We want their approval. We want to show what we know. I want to tell you, it's time that we show and grow by the grace of God and become the messenger. And if the people can't receive the messenger, they can't receive the message. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to understand this word and that this word can work in us like liquid love and can be poured out to people that are hurting, and that we're not judgmental, but also we're not compromising, that we understand the grace of God. I don't know if you read your newspaper yesterday, Quad City Times. It says, who's in hell? It asks that question. Talks about a Methodist pastor here that's picking up on the teaching that's coming out. And this is a popular teaching right now that's going across the evangelical world by Rob Bell. And it's a prominent thing talking about the fact that God is so loving, he would never send anyone to hell. And that teaching is going out to evangelical churches too. This pastor agreed and they fired him, and they should. Because this dear man needs to know that that's not true. God won't send anybody to hell, and I don't either. I want to tell you, by the power of God's love, Jesus died so no one would go to hell. People come to me many times, and they'll say, well, you know, if God's a God of love, well, he won't send anyone to hell, will he? And I'll say, no, he absolutely will not. Every person there will know they sent themselves because of a choice. God give us a free will. But here's what I want. If you ever run across that question, and please be loving and caring. Don't take the Bible and beat people up. Don't do what Peter did and whack people's ears off with it. You know, the sword, and he whacked his ear off, and Jesus had to go over, pick his ear up, and put it back on, because that's an ear he wanted to hear the good news of the gospel. I have one thing to say to any person that comes to me, and they do. Why? If there is no hell, why did Jesus die? Why did we have an Easter? If you can get to heaven by other religions, why did he die? You see, you have to begin to understand either this book is the truth or it's a lie. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, if that's not the truth, he didn't say, I am a way, a truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do I say that to put down any other religion? Absolutely not. I say it because I love them and I care about them. I want them to know the real deal. And if they got a counterfeit, I want to help them to understand. Give Jesus a chance. Go into the Word. This is a gold mine. Get in there and discover what God has to say. He really loves you. Amen? Please understand that. And don't go around beating people up and saying, you know, don't ever be flippant about someone being lost. Dear God, what hope sprang in my heart this morning as we talked together in my office and we could talk about Justin and that Justin received Jesus Christ. As sad as I am for a young man to lose his life at 29, I'm so glad that he has eternal life because of a choice he made as an act of his will. And he didn't understand how to live that life out yet. But he had something in his heart. And listen, God's not looking for our smarts. He's looking for our hearts. Amen? Please get that clear in our heart, because otherwise you end up with religion. And it's about what I do and what you do. See, the saddest day in heaven has not happened yet. It's when people will stand there and they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things? They declare everything they've done. That's what religion always does. They say nothing about what Jesus has done. And with all the sadness of our Savior hanging on that cross, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. With all the sadness of his soul, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. They thought they knew him. And they thought good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's not true. Only saved. Listen, the world wants you to believe if you're just good enough, you'll go to heaven. If that's true, Jesus didn't need to die. We just need to be good. There's none good enough. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But I'm thankful that God gives us a robe of righteousness. And he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? I'm so thankful to know that. And again, not as a put down. I want to be able to understand. Stand under. Bear up. I'm glad somebody did that for me that cared enough to tell me the truth. And finally I heard it. And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I listened to Dave Wilkerson in his letter. Dave is very forthright, prophetic, black and white. But Dave said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Dave, you're only ankle deep in understanding the ocean of love that I have for you. Oh, please know. We need to know the love of God at every point, but never use that love as something that allows us to be led into a lie, but truth that sets us free. And God, by his grace, will bring that about. Read all the word. Find out what God has to say. See, when Jesus is talking to them and says about moving mountains, he's standing right by the temple. That's where the Pharisees and Sadducees are at. He's talking about mountains of religion that will blind people to the reality of the relationship that God wants. That's the kind of mountains he wants to move. Listen, when you get that clear and you get close to Christ, any mountain can be removed then. But until we get that clear, until we understand a relationship, we're in trouble. I'm getting excited, but I want to tell you something. It's more than hype. It's a living hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? And, you know, I may get wound up at times, but I want to tell you something. It's real in my life, and I feel a passion about what I say because I want to be able to stand with people and know that I'm saying not just that I'm always right, but I want to be real so he can get real. That's what I want most because I'm not always right, but I give what I've got in the name of the Lord. And our biggest mistake many times is trying to change one another instead of cherishing one another. I want you to look at the person next to you, even if they're just a brother or sister in Christ, and said, I cherish you. I won't try to change you. Yeah. I hope you put that on your refrigerator. You don't have to put a note. Paint it on there with real paint. It'll change your life if you begin to cherish people. Because see, you'll see the good and you'll overcome the garbage. Well, yeah, but that makes you some gullible guy and people will walk on you and just adore. Oh, that's what Jesus did for you and me. That's how you overcome evil, is with good. God cherishes, he loved us, the Bible says, while we're still sinners. How much more can he love us? And it's our choice of what we do with it. But he loved us, he cherished us. And we weren't cheap. You can decide that by the price he paid. And we need to understand that, grow in that, be thankful for that. And God wants to help us to deal with the third mountain then, mountain of mistakes, making a mistake. That's where we get offended so many times. That's the biggest sin in the body of Christ. We get so offended, you can't begin to disciple people that are easily offended. You can never go into the depth of what God wants to do if you're easily offended, because the battle's real. And there's times we're going to bang around a bit. I do that in the family. There's times we don't understand, but we got to come to that point. We make mistakes. How many of you have ever made a mistake? Let's see your hand. All right. Now, how many of you have ever been offended? Yeah. Now, if you haven't, now keep your hands up. If you haven't, just look around. There's a lot of people you can get offended at. They've all got their hands up. So we can get offended real easy. There's somebody to get offended at all the time. You can get offended at me. You can get offended at one another. But I'm going to tell you, God says, I want you to get mended. I want you to come and understand something greater than what it is about your preference, but your real purpose of what it is when you gather together, you worship and understand the grace of God. We gather together unto Him. Our biggest mistake there is when we come and we begin to make the mistakes in life because of what's in our heart. And God wants to be able to clear that up, because Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. The heart is your internal dictionary by which you define everything that happens in you and around you. You've got a dictionary. How do you decide what's going to be in that dictionary? What you put in is what's going to come out. I said earlier, if you can master your mouth, you can master your mountains. And your mouth, the tongue, unruly member set on fire of hell. No man can tame the tongue, but God can. By the power of His Spirit, He wants us to be able to guard our heart from the garbage of man's definition and be able to experience God's grace. The definitions that the world tries to declare of seeing what's wrong with everybody, what's wrong with the world, that becomes so critical instead of creative, which God intended. I believe the Holy Spirit loves you so very much, and I want you to look at a person next to him, next to you, and be able to say, you know, God made you. He didn't make a mistake. Yeah, please understand that. And you have to develop that dictionary in your heart ongoingly and see what God will do. Now, I'm going to wrap this up really quick. Have you at times been offended at someone, or hurt by someone, or something happened way back here when, and you keep remembering that, and that person has a lodging place in your life, but it's not pleasant. They live there rent-free, and you allow them to. And they can get you angry, upset. What happened with them affects you every time you look at somebody else. If somebody else does something even close to what they did, you respond to that other relationship out of that relationship, and because of what happened there, you're not going to respond here. It messes with you all the time about that. And I want to say to you, if you would understand in Scripture, when it talks about coming to Jesus Christ as Savior, that's one thing. Coming to Him as Lord is another thing. What leads in your life is Lord. And I want to tell you, some of us have given people that place in our life. We've given offenses that place in our life, where that's what leads us. It'll lead us for 2 hours and being discouraged, upset, frustrated, because we're thinking about that person and what they did or what we're not. Many times, the problem is just self. We can't get over me and everything's wrong with me. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so wants to awaken our heart to understand, to get beyond that and to get beyond that offense and let Him be Lord. Lay it down. Let it go so you can grow by the grace of God. Don't allow anything else to be Lord in your life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. That's assumed that we allow Him to lead as the Lord. Now, if you think about that, I believe that most of you could think of times that you had a day that was ruined. It was not a fruitful day. It was a barren day because somebody upset you. It's a bad day because of what they said. It could have been a good day if you could have just given that over to the Lordship of Christ. Well, yeah, but that hurt. I know. But just please kneel. Let God heal those things in your heart. Well, yeah, but I still remember. But you're remembering something greater. You're remembering someone greater. And He's the one that will honor you as you do that. And you'll find out that mountain may only move a little at a time, but one day you'll find out that mountain's not there anymore. And by the way, that mountain usually only gets there because we took a molehill and we built a mountain. We dump dirt there every day. And it's time to take it away by the power of the Spirit. Amen? You know, I say a lot of little capsule things because that's how I learn. And I shared with some of you men my learning process too. But I capsule things so I can remember them and enter in. And one of these I run across, there was favorite sayings of Pastor Jim, and somebody gave these back to me. I don't remember saying this one, but it sounds good. It sounds like something I said. And I'm going to close with this. When you allow the living hope of Jesus Christ to be in your life, here's the saying. The hounds of hell become hot dogs. Now, I want you to understand. They don't have any power unless you give it. And they'll lose the scent if you rise as a spirit man rather than a flesh man. And I want to tell you, it's time to tell some of those hot dogs to go back to hell where they come from. They've been tracking you long enough. That depression, that discouragement, that voice that tells you what you're not instead of who you are in Jesus Christ, that thing that's always standing and setting borders in your life and never letting you get the full blessing that God wants in the name of the Lord, it needs to go back from where it came from. You need to know who you are, and Jesus Christ loves you. You need to know that those mountains are moved, not just so we can say they're gone, but because then we can see, and we can see Christ, and we can be free. We know him, and then we discover who we are. And that's where the freedom comes in. And that's when you're free to share that love with others, and you can cherish them. You don't have to change them, because you know that. You've experienced that in your life. Would you pray with me? In the name of Jesus, I'm so thankful for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't explain this with mere words today. God, I have a passion burning in my spirit. But Lord Jesus, it's your passion and purpose and your spirit that changes us. You cherish us, Lord. You love us. God, you don't condemn. You don't compromise. You do what's necessary to conform us into your image. That's what I'm thankful for. And help us to be those kind of people, Lord. Help us to be able to grow by that grace. Help us to cherish people, not try to change them. Help us, Lord God, not to rearrange things in life, but really let all of that cherishing, that our lives can be changed so we reflect your goodness, your grace. Lord, would you speak to any heart here today? And they need to make a decision just like Justin did a couple weeks ago. They need to allow you to become real. Father, we pause because I'm speaking to people's minds, their head, but you're speaking to their heart. I'm asking now in the name of Jesus, let hearts have the courage to respond to you. Jesus, you said, if you'll not be ashamed and confess me before men, I will not be ashamed to confess you before the Father. God, forgive us for our timid spirit, for holding back. Today I remove that mountain called me so I can see you and come to you. And I can come clean and close in Jesus' name. There's a cry in your heart. You say, I need the Lord. And today I lift my hand, my heart to the Lord. And you're not joining the church or getting religion, but a relationship with God that's real. If that's a need in your heart, slip your hand up. I won't do anything to embarrass you. You're not joining the church. You're just simply responding to Jesus. Father God, thank you for my sister. Thank you, Lord, that you lift her and love her today. You make that real. Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to help my sister back here by the power of your love. Lift her with new hope. God, I pray for my sister over here. God, you've seen the brokenness of all the things of the past, but they won't last because she won't feed them anymore. And Lord, they can't keep coming up and reminding her what she's not. You tell her what she is this day. For my brother, Lord, for this son of faith, God, let him rise up and let this be a time, God, that you rule his heart in the way that you've so desired to raise him up to be the man of God you've called him to be. My sister, that you would know that forgiveness in your heart today and that God set you up for this special day to speak to you and let you know how much you're loved and he'll touch you. What you feel and sense in your spirit's not going to leave. It's going to grow by the grace of God. Are there other hearts this morning? I want you to listen for just a moment, because if you're like I was in a church where I never heard a message in tongues. I didn't know what that was. And I want you to understand that the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But he talks about spiritual gifts. And he talks about the fact that he would come and speak to us in a special way. And that whenever there's a message in tongues in public, it should be interpreted. I want to give you the interpretation right from Scripture, because the Holy Spirit had this to say to hearts here today. He wants you to understand that he appoints unto them that mourn. He gives you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planning of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Spirit of God, in all we do, honor you. We pray to honor. And Lord God, even the fact that you speak to us in another tongue, Lord, a father tongue, a language of love, we line it with your word that gives us clear direction. And Lord, you saw some of the heaviness on hearts here today. And Lord, you wanted to take disappointment and make a new appointment. And you wanted to give beauty out of ashes. You wanted to give a garment of praise for the robe of heaviness. Thank you for that, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you come in your special way to speak to us, to help us and direct our lives. And so, Lord, we rise up today with an understanding of the power to move the mountains that make us misunderstand, because we can misunderstand what you're doing right now. But, Lord, your word will come under and strengthen us and give us understanding. I thank you, Lord God, that we can get beyond self so we truly serve you. I thank you, Spirit of God, that we're able to come to those points of misunderstanding and see your grace to intervene. And God, that we don't have to walk with offenses in our life. We're not offended. We're mended by the power of the Spirit of God. I bless you for that. I believe for that grace in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Would you stand with me, please? And I said I was at the end, and I am, if I don't think of something else. But one thing, I want to give you one verse of Scripture and ask you to memorize the Scripture. And when you put it on your refrigerator, to cherish people and don't try to change people. And you even say to people sometimes, I hope as husband and wife, if you get some of that intense fellowship going, that one of you can get the grace of God to say, cherish me, don't try to change me. Just give God a chance. But I want you to memorize the Scripture. It's in Psalms 119. It is the bulldozer for every believer to move any mountain of offense that happens in life. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love what he has to say, you can overcome everything else. And you'll have peace that passes understanding. Great peace. Just say it after me. Great peace have they which love his law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Burn that in their heart, Lord. I love you. God bless you. Would you hug about 70 people and we'll go on our way?